I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Eli Delaney. He is the founder of Purple Knight Consulting. He is also the creator of Follow-Up Rockstar System, helping entrepreneurs build a 24/7 automated system and go from surviving to thriving in any economy. Eli is a bestseller, Amazon bestseller, Marketing Tidbits. He's also written Networking Tidbits, and his program, Networking Like a Rockstar, has over 1,400 students globally. I've gotten to know Eli through an organization called Success Champions Networking, and every conversation I've had with him has been delightful. I expect this one will be as well, and you'll actually learn something. Eli, welcome.
Thanks for having me, my friend. I appreciate you inviting me to come hang out with you today.
I've been looking forward to it. I got to ask about the purple. You showed me your purple mouse. You got a purple mouse. Hold it up for the crew.
Okay. Purple mouse. Yeah. Got to have the purple mouse. So yeah, I have been known as the purple guy for 30 years. I built that with my first company, which was a web and graphic design agency. When I first started like building my own branding and my own website, I hummed and hawed over it. And then I was like, you know what? I think I want something that's going to be around purple. And I'm a Ren Faire nerd. I'm a medieval times kind of guy. So had to have the word knight in there. So it was like, I'm your purple knight in shining armor. That was kind of the way I went through things. And I used to be known as the guy who was the purple guy, because I would always walk in the room, always had a purple shirt on. And I got to the point where the branding was so solid with that, that somebody else walked in the room wearing a purple shirt, people would ask them if they work for me.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome.
Yeah, it worked really well. A lot of confused people had that conversation, but it was hilarious. And I stuck with it. The funny thing is that when I launched this company originally, I decided to try to break away from the purple and change the colors to blue and green, because that's more business corporate-y kind of thing. And it never landed right. It didn't feel right. People didn't really attract to it as well. And when I rebranded back to the purple, it just felt right. And so I was like, yep, we're never changing it. So I am the purple guy.
Well, you know, there's a lot of companies out there with blue and green. And like you, I've read the psychology behind the trust mm-hmm. that blue builds. And
yeah,
I mean, my company colors are blue, but nobody remembers me because of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's really funny is that I didn't know this when I started. So when I started that company, my web graphic design agency, I started just because I had graphic inclinations. You know, I fell in love with the ability to do that. I had artistic ability, but what ended up happening with it is I didn't actually like study color theory or any of that kind of stuff for a couple of years later. And then at one point I was like, okay, if I'm going to get serious, I should probably have that silly piece of paper that says I know what I'm doing. So I went to school for it. And I actually studied the color theory side and found out that purple has two sides to it. It has, you know, purple, especially like a deep royal purple. It has royalty, it has elegance. And then on the other side, it has holistic peace, calming feeling to it. And it's kind of cool because, to be perfectly honest, those are literally like the two sides of my personality, because I like shiny, cool things. And at the same time, I tend to be that more passive kind of hippie attitude towards things. And so once I figured that out, I was like, huh, yeah, that works for me. I think I'll stick with it. And so, yeah, I've stuck with it ever since.
And what drew you to purple originally?
It just drew me to it. There wasn't a thing that did it. And it's so funny because I mean, my mom has always been into purples. That's her favorite color. My daughter has now, she's a purple as well. And I don't know if you know this, but there's even like a whole culture of people that are like, oh yeah, you're a purple. And people that are just, they love purple. And they're something about it is that color that draws them in. And I've had other people that are that way that they're like, yeah, I'm a purple too. That's why I like you so much. I'm like, okay, I'll go with that. And so,
Wow.
yeah, I don't know what, I mean, it was just like, I look at all the different colors. I'm sitting there playing with building my first website. And I was like, yeah, I think I like this one. Yeah, I think I'll go with that. And that's how it started, really.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting. Well, and the thing is, like I say, I have blue in my logo. I mean, but this is something I picked out 15 years ago or something like that, approaching 15 years ago. And part of it is I just like blue, and but I was following the psychology of, blue builds trust, so I'm going to do that. But I just the further I go in life, the more I realize the if you're doing what the crowd is doing, you're blending in, you're not standing out, you're not different. I tell you about how I got the scar across my upper lip.
Yeah, you did.
And so for those that are listening, it was they when they put me on the ventilator, they thought I'd die, and they just got sloppy, and it really goobered up my mouth. So I had to have plastic surgery about a year after I got out of the hospital. And I remember I moped around because I've always been able to grow a nice beard. And I started realizing I'd never again be able to grow hair there. And it made me really sad. And then I finally thought, Craig, you're a marketer. If you can't do something with that, you suck.
Well, it's, we all have our quirks and our weirdness, for me, and we can go on the purple thing. It's like, for the longest time, a guy who's into purple was just weird. Like that's not normal. I mean, even today, it's still not really normal, but back then it was really weird. I mean, trust me, trying to find a good purple shirt is still hard to do sometimes. I found one place that has a great, like a really nice royal purple, and I bought like 10 of those shirts like that day, because they're such a hard thing to find. But when you find something that's unique for you, that is brilliance. That's a great thing to do because it does help you stand out. And like I always joke about now, purple has become such a much more mainstream color. Like there's literally stores that are nothing but purple. And I'm like, I was into purple before purple was cool, So, but that's one of my quirkiness pieces. Trust me, I got plenty of them, but that's just one of them. And I think that's the cool thing is when we, and you and I are both marketers, so we understand the psychology of it and all that kind of stuff. But when we really look at it, there's a certain point of we do certain things because we know they work, but then there's a point of, are they working because they legitimately work? Are they working because of sheep mentality? And there's a difference between the two. And when we can stop and look at it as, okay, am I doing this because it just works? Like there are certain language patterns or like internet marketing thing, everything has to end in a seven, those kind of things, right? But then you turn around, it's like, okay, there are certain other things. Am I using this color because it has to give this kind of vibe? Now, nowadays, I do to some degree, like, and I got on the purple. I want people to think royalty. I want them to think, not expensive, but classy. And I want them to feel at ease, which is more the holistic side of it. And for me, those are part of my personality. So I'm going along with that, but I'm not doing it because society says I have to follow these steps. I'm doing it because that's actually still literally part of my authenticity, the way that I look at things. And I think when we do that, it's another great example. I know you and I are both in the speaking world. There's a lot of speakers. Once Gary Vaynerchuk got so popular, and for, if anybody doesn't know him, go look him up. Look up Gary V, you'll find him. But for everybody who does, when he started getting popular, all of a sudden, people, they're dropping F-bombs left and right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never really acceptable before, but they're like, there's a difference between, is it just part of my personality? Which for him it is. I've had one-on-one conversations with him and the dude just can't stop. You know, that's part of his upbringing. That's part of his background and growing up as a kid, all that kind of stuff. So that is, you can tell that's genuinely part of his personality. And then you have all these other people that they do it because they're looking for the shock factor. They see him doing it and he gets success. So they think that they need to do it too. And that's where we have the difference between, are we doing it because it really works? Or are we doing it because we're sheep? You know, and that's, so we have to kind of think about these things. And I don't know, for me, purple's part of my personality, so it works well.
Well, I tell you what, here's some shock value. I spent 6 years in the Marines, not as one who cusses. Okay. You stand out when you're in the Marine Corps and you don't cuss.
I can totally understand that. I know many, many guys that are Marines, and yeah, I could totally imagine that. That would stand out.
And as Tonya, we had our Success Champions networking meeting about an hour ago, and it's my job to read the Champions Code. And I read a modified version. So within the SCN community, I stand out. And Donnie's sitting right there in the meeting watching me misquote his Champions Code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know exactly what you're talking about with that. You know, Jeffrey in our group does the same thing. He has a hard time with the last code. But you know what? Here's the beauty of it is that was written in Donnie's voice and his personality, his style. And he does give us the ability to modify it to our best purposes. And I think that's good that he does it, because I know people who would be upset if they had to follow it to the T. And I think that we all have to give grace where it's there. You know, if there's something that doesn't run with you the way you want to go, you just like, all right, well, I'm not going to be quite that way, but you do you, let me do me. And as long as we get the same principles across, we're good. And I think that's the important part.
Well, and it was funny when we were going into that, I told my wife about that, and she's like, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm going to communicate the meaning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to communicate the meaning my way. And if Donnie says something to me, part of the Champions Code is show up as yourself.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, Donnie, I'm showing up as myself.
Yeah. Well, and that's good. And you should. You should do, you know, what works for you. And that's, you know, and that's cool. And I don't, you know, I can guarantee Donnie wouldn't have a problem with that either.
He hasn't. He's been in three meetings where I've misquoted his code, and he's been, right, and said a thing.
Yeah. I mean, I make fun of him about the whole thing. I say, he's like the last one. I just say, I don't be a Donnie, you know.
I wish I hadn't taken a drink of water before you said that.
We almost got a nice bit of you spitting your water out, making you laugh. That makes my day. I feel much better now. But this is, I think authenticity is such an important thing. And I learned this early on, again, back in my web design days. I was very, like, I had built my branding so solid that it worked so good. It was awesome. But I also was very, as the term, I had somebody, and I didn't know even what the term meant when they said this to me, because this was so long ago, but they basically said, you are such a stoic person. And I didn't know what that meant. And then it was described to me as boring and stuffy. That's the word. That's what I was thinking. It was the word stuffy. And that's not really what it means, which I learned much later in life, but I was like, oh, well, that's not okay. I was kind of insulted when I, you know, got that understanding of it. But I realized that I had put myself in the spot where I was an amazing web designer. I was the best at what he did. And all of that was there. But people didn't know me that well. They didn't know my personality. They didn't know that I have a daughter. They didn't know that I'm a dog guy. They didn't know that I'm a Renaissance fair nerd, that I like blues music, you know, all of the other things that make us human, they didn't know. And it had served me to a certain level. But then I found out that people saw me as kind of boring because of it, because I come in, I'm very business oriented. I'm here to do my thing. That's it. And this was my partner actually told me this. And I was like, okay, well, it's not what I really want. I want people to actually feel like I'm a real human, you know? And so I started changing it and I started loosening up a lot more and got let people get to know me. And it's so funny when that happened. Two things happened. Number one, people were shocked. But the second thing was my business exploded. I had no idea that that's because I thought that you had to be serious and you had to be professional. And that wasn't being professional. And all of a sudden, like my business actually took off like crazy once I did that. And I was like, that's a new one. And so ever since then, I've always pushed the idea of staying authentic and stay within reason. You know, there's not a point, there's some points where people think, let me put it this way. This is my favorite phrase in this whole concept. If you're trying to be authentic, you're probably doing it wrong.
That's a good way of putting it.
You know, if you have to try, you're not doing it right. And so I've been a big one of, you know, let your personality go through. Again, are you saying things because that's part of your true personality? Or are you saying it because you think that's what people want to expect you to say or act or do? You know, for me, you know, on the public side, most of the time, I don't cuss very often. But, you know, when I get with close friends, they'll see me. There are times where I go off like a sailor. And it's so funny when somebody comes into that circle, they're just like, I have never heard you speak like that. That is so weird. And I'm like, well, that's just a different side to me. I'm still there. But in public, I think that there's a certain amount of respect for other people that you try to, you know, do, you know, try to retain yourself a little bit. But at the same time, I'll walk in like, you know, I'm in a button-up black shirt and I'll walk into a mixer like that where I used to be in a suit every day. You know, that was me every time. And so you just figure out, just be you. You know, it's just be you, be have fun with it. Let people know your weirdness, your quirks, your hobbies, stuff like that. Because when you can do that, people will actually like you more. They'll want to do business with you more. And you'll find that you'll attract more of the right people. Like when I got more public about being a dog guy, next thing I know, most of my clients were dog people.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't intentional. It's just like those are the people that I attracted. You know, right now, one of the big things, I attract a lot of people that hang out at Ren fairs, which I think is hilarious because it's not really a common thing. But I have met and hung out with more people who either hang out or perform at Renaissance festivals than I've ever met in my entire life. But I think part of it is because I talk about it. And it's like, it's not the forefront of everything that I talk about. But well, if the conversation is right, I'll bring it up and we have that conversation. And next thing I know, you do that? Oh, I do that too. Or I've always wanted to go. Well, cool. Here's some resources. Or you want to come hang out with us next weekend? I got somebody actually this Saturday. We're going to a fair. And I had somebody that I had lunch with last week. She's always wanted to go to a fair. She's never had an opportunity. And I was like, why don't you come hang out and join us for the day?
Wow.
It's just be cool, you know, be cool, have some fun with it.
I want to definitely talk about email,
Okay.
email marketing, because this is cool. I could talk about this other stuff forever. It's just a great conversation, but you do a lot of email marketing.
That's email marketing is my primary business now. I'm an email marketing strategist. And so it really is about the how do you communicate more effectively? But the cool thing is everything we've just talked about leads up to why my emails work so well. Because it's about having a real conversation with a real person.
How do you measure? Because it's interesting. How do you measure when they work well? And I believe that. What is it you measure that tells you they're doing well?
Responses. So responses, most people are going to measure clicks or opens and stuff like that. Yes, to some degree, those are important. I mean, I get clients, they'll come to me and their average open rate for their emails is like 10 to 15%. That's been normal for years. When we start working with them, it's not uncommon for us to take them to 40 or 50% fairly quickly. But that's only one metric. That just says, okay, did they actually open the email? Well, obviously the subject line hit, that worked. That's good. Yes, that's a piece of it. But ultimately, do those people respond? Do those people reply to you? Do they pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I got your email and I need to talk to you." Or, I get people like I do a lot of local mixers, like business networking events and stuff like that. And I have people that come to me and they say, "I got this email from you last week. It was so good. I was right thing at the right time. I really needed this. Thank you so much." That's how I measure it. That's what I measure is those responses, because I have one client that it was so funny. She launched what we call the ultimate follow-up. And when she did, this is my big program and my philosophy behind email marketing. When we launched this program with her, the first week she comes back to our coaching calls. So like we have group coaching calls. She's like, "Okay, for everybody here that's behind me that hasn't done this yet, I just have to stop and tell you, holy crap, this is amazing. I have been doing this for 5 years, and just launching this program in the last week, I have gotten more responses from people than I ever have combined." And these are people that have been on my list for 3 and 4 years and have done nothing. And all of a sudden, they're replying back, they're thanking me and saying, "I think I need your help. Can I get on your calendar?" And she was just like going off. I mean, I didn't prep her for this or anything. She came to the call and this is what she spewed out. And that's the cool feeling. That's the stuff that I love. And that's what I get giddy about is when you get those kind of responses, because it is, you're getting real interaction. You're getting human to human interaction. It's not just a, did they open and did they click a link? Most of the emails that I send don't have a link in them. So you can't track a click on that. A click is if you're sending somebody to a page to go buy something. Well, what if you're saying, "Hey, here's a cool book that I recommend. You should check it out. Let me know what you think." I mean, yeah, you can kind of sort of track the click on that, as my mouth goes backwards here. My dyslexia kicks in. You can do that to some degree, but when you have something that there isn't really even a link or the purpose to have a link in the email, you can't track a click. But you surely can track when somebody responds and thanks you for that. Or that's the difference.
Well, and even with the open rates, like for Gmail, Gmail has like a ton of false opens.
Oh yeah. Well, nowadays, especially with the new stuff with AI, is it's summarizing your emails before you ever get to it. So yeah, you're going to get that stuff. Different services have that. You also have, I mean, I found out that there's a company out there that their internal system is automatically unsubscribing people from any kind of anything that has an unsubscribe link. They're just unsubscribing them. And the person doesn't know. The user doesn't know. It's the company that's doing it. I just found that out last week with somebody that I had a conversation with because they signed up to check out something that I had. I have what I call an educational email course that I was sharing with her, and I'm like, "Hey, check it out. Go through it. It's just going to be 5 days. Check out the emails. Let me know what you think. Like, once you've done that, feel free to opt out if you want. That's totally cool." But she got like one email and opted out, and I was like, "Okay, well, just curiosity. Did you really hate that first email so bad?" She's like, "Well, no, I didn't click on anything." And come to find out, it was something corporate did. So we don't have control over all that stuff. That's another reason why those other numbers tend to be very flaky. But when somebody actually replies and says, "Thank you, this was awesome," or calls you or books on your calendar, now that's trackable. And now you're getting real engagement, real action. And that's what you want.
What do you think's the key that's driving that engagement?
A true conversation, talking to people like a real human being. A big piece of that is I tell everybody, get rid of all the fancy newsletter garbage, like no header, no fancy graphics, no pretty formatting, any of that kind of stuff. It should look like you opened up Gmail and just wrote somebody an email to a friend. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that I say to people is start there. The second thing is talk to them like a human being, like actually have a conversation with them. Nobody wants your newsletter. You know, there is a place for newsletters. I have to start correcting myself on that because there's like a whole thing of like paid newsletters. It's more specific type of things. There's a place for it, but most newsletters, people don't read them because they don't care. Right. And they definitely don't want to hear about all the amazing things you have for sale or all the great places that you're speaking. If you're a speaker, because I get a lot of speakers, if that's what they do, is like, oh, I'm going to be here and I'm doing this and I'm doing this. It's like me, 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 me. And nobody cares about that stuff. But if you say, hey, you know what? I read this thing and I thought it was super cool. And I thought it might be helpful for you. Here's what I got out of it. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Now, all of a sudden, you're changing the entire conversation. And it's about you just providing something of value. And the beauty of it is like for what I help clients with, 90% of it has nothing to do with their business specifically. They're not pitching. They're just adding value to people. And the beauty of it is those people are on your list. They already know what you do. They know what your product is. So every once in a while, you definitely still have to sprinkle in like, hey, by the way, we happen to have something cool that you might help you out. But for the most part, you make it a place of, here's a great article. Here's a great tip. Here's a book. Here's a video that I saw. I mean, we've all seen Simon Sinek Start With Why, the great book. Well, he did a TED talk on it. And that was the first introduction I had to it. Well, I've shared that video, that TED talk video, probably 3,000-4,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, hey, you know, when I started building my business around this whole concept of what's your why. And then I ended up getting my mom of all people share this video with me, and I watch it and I'm like, okay, he's doing all the stuff I've been talking about, but he's saying it way more elegant than me. I need to share this out with people. Yeah. Yeah. But when people see that stuff, they appreciate it because that shows that you care about them as a person, as opposed to you just trying to pitch them again. Yeah. And that's the difference.
Yeah. Well, now you mentioned the ultimate follow-up sequence. What is that? Yeah.
So we have, it's six categories. Mine is, the ultimate follow-up was created by myself in 2013. Yeah, 2013, when I ended up in the hospital, had a blood clot going to my kidney. I don't recommend it. It is still to this day the most painful thing I've ever had. The good part was I lost 50 pounds. That was pretty amazing. The bad part was I did it in like 5 days, which is not recommended. But
by the way, you got me beat. It took me 3 months to lose 40 pounds in the hospital. So 50 pounds in, what was it, 5 days?
5 days. Yeah, it was not a good experience. Don't recommend it. I have no clue how it happened. I don't recommend
the
40 pounds
the way I lost it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that I couldn't lose the pounds now, but that is not the way to do it, definitely. But I realized that I, like everything in my entire business, had stopped during that time frame. Nothing could be done. And so I was like, okay, I need to put automation in place. And so I started building this thing out. And the whole point behind it was I want to have the same kind of emails that I'm sending now, but I need to make them evergreen. I need to put them automated because I need them to work if I can't. And so I started building this out, and over the years it got better. I fine-tuned it. My running joke is I've got a 3-year campaign that runs 100% evergreen, 100% automated, meaning I could go outside and get hit by a bus today and still sell you stuff for 3 more years. That's my running joke with it. But the idea, the principle behind it is we have different categories. We'll talk about books. We talk about videos, podcasts, tips, tricks, frequently asked questions, should ask questions. You make a nice variety of stuff that you send out on a consistent basis. Part of it is, I like to say, consistently inconsistent. So it's not every 7 days, because there's psychology involved and there's how does a human brain think. If they get an email at 7 a.m. every Monday morning, it doesn't matter how nice, how clean the email is and how much it looks like a regular just email you wrote, people are going to see it's a newsletter, because subconsciously the brain's going to realize they got an email every Monday at 7 a.m. And maybe consciously they're not, but subconsciously they are. So mm-hmm. We'll mix it up. It might be 7 days, might be 10 days, might be 6 days, might be 8 days, might be in the morning, might be in the afternoon, might be even early evening. We mix it up a lot to basically put those pattern interrupts in there so it looks, acts, and feels like you actually stopped and sent that email out. Now, we're not lying. We're never hiding anything. Of course, there's going to be the unsubscribe BS garbage at the bottom of the page because you need to put it on there. But
unless you're a politician,
don't get me started on that garbage. But yeah, there's a way we could unsubscribe permanently from those. That'd be awesome. But you give them that feel and people feel like you really care about them. Like you took the time to send that. And the beauty of it is, like for me, I have a disadvantage because I teach this stuff and I talk about this stuff all the time. But I still, I mean, even just last week, I was at a business event and somebody's like, you know, I get all these emails from you, but I don't know which ones are ones that you stopped and sent to me or which ones are part of your system. And I'm like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
Because if you reply to any one of those, I'm going to answer it. And if you read any one of those and you got value out of what's in that email, isn't that what does matter? And you didn't really know how to respond to that one, but it's pretty funny because at the end of the day, that's what we're looking for. We want that response. We want people to feel like you actually care about them. You've given them something of value to help make their day better. Yep. And that's the difference. That's how, again, we can put it into a system. We should put it into a system because we're humans. We're going to drop the ball. We're going to screw it up at some point. Life happens, whether it's on purpose or not, it happens. And so if we can put this in there, it takes the human error out of the equation by just having the system work. And you can still send one-off emails, but you put this in place so you're never dropping the ball with people. You're always in front of them. And you don't have to talk about your business. You can talk about anything you want that will add value to their life, because as long as you're adding value to other people's lives, they're going to like it. You know, the funny thing is that these days, especially when texting started getting so crazy, everybody's like, yeah, email's dead. No, email's not dead. It's just your emails suck, dude. You know, write better emails. Make it so people actually pay attention. You know, if somebody texts me, I'm going to opt out immediately. You know, because I'm not a texting guy. You know, if I get a text from somebody, it's like, hey, this is, you know, I'm running 5 minutes late. That's okay. But other stuff I don't care about.
I do that with the politicians, you know, and I don't care if I voted for him or didn't vote for him. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I didn't give you permission.
Exactly.
To send me all these text messages. So when they come through, I just hit Marcus, you know, delete Marcus spam.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing is if you don't opt into it, you shouldn't be doing, like, you shouldn't be, I mean, it's technically illegal for us to just start adding everybody to a mass list. That's, you know, the anti-can spam law came into play for that. Well, how long ago was it? 15 years ago, something like that. 15, 20 years ago, a long time ago.
And which did exempt the politicians.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still annoying, but that's, you know, we shouldn't be just adding everybody to our list and pitching them all the time. But that doesn't mean you can't stay in touch on a regular basis. And those people that did opt in, you should try to get people who didn't to opt in for something cool, give them something of value. And then you build something like the ultimate follow-up that stays with them forever. You know, that's the beauty of it. If you're just giving tips, tricks, resources, good value, that is just like a conversation piece. Like, hey, you know, I thought that you might find this helpful. Stuff like that. And it works like a charm. It really does.
Well, do you have, I mean, cause this sounds fascinating to me. And I'm actually kind of curious. how do people engage with you and how do people find you?
Yeah. Well, finding me is easy. Eli Delaney, Eli's E-L-Y. If you want to reach out, find all the places to get a hold of me, it's connectwitheli.com. And from there, you can get some free stuff. You can check out my websites, my social media, all that kind of fun stuff. And all they have to do is just reach out if this is interesting to you. I do have what I call the educational email series. It's basically, it's fix your follow-up. It's the follow-up fix.net is where that's at. And the whole point behind it is go here, go through the 5-day program, see where you're making the mistakes, because I'm going to show you what mistakes you're making and how to fix them. And if anybody has questions, wants to ask, I am super easy to get a hold of. connect with me on social, reach out and just say, hey, I heard you on Craig's show. I'd love to talk to you. You can get on my calendar. I'm totally easy to talk to because I have, you know, anybody's watching the video version, you see a banner above my head that says meet cool people. Mm-hmm. That's because I love to meet cool people. I love to have great conversations. And if I can help you on the business side, cool. If not, I'll point you in whatever direction I can. And I guarantee you, I'll walk away with a couple nuggets either way.
Well, that's cool. Well, Eli, this has been a delight. I always enjoy speaking with you.
Well, thank you. Me too. It's been fun.
And I definitely want to learn more about what you're doing in emailing because it sounds, I'll tell you, it sounds different than what I'm doing.
Okay.
And I need to figure something out.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Well, thanks for inviting me, friend. I really appreciate it. And this was a fun conversation.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.